Ricardo,
what's up, my guy?
Hey, good, good.
How you doing, dude?
Good, good. It's the first time.
I know, right? After a while, dude. Just texting and then time. You know how it is.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm happy we can finally do it for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what's up, man? So you're from Amsterdam, right?
Yep. Yeah, I'm from Amsterdam, but now I'm in Dublin.
Right, right.
I've been in Ireland now for 9 years.
Wow. And you said the time's over there, what, 8 hours ahead?
Yeah, exactly. So in Amsterdam, 9, and then Dublin, 8 hours. Yeah.
Oh, snap. Okay. Sweet, sweet. So, yeah, man, I wanted to, you know, I know you reached out to me on Instagram. And, you know, I ended up watching your video. And I was like, okay, like, this is something that for sure needs to be brought out more. Something needs to be talked about. And you seem like, you know what you're talking about. You have experience with helping people. So I'm glad to bring you on, dude. I know you mentioned in the video that you said you help with creating a healthy relationship with devices, and like what would be an example of that, like what would that look like, a healthy relationship with, you know, being on social media or just anything on the phone, right?
Exactly, yeah, because especially when we complain about the phone use and social media use, you hear a lot of stories about how phones and social media are robbing our time, energy, and focus, and how we just basically lose ourselves.
Right.
And in those moments, you really want to create a better relationship with your device. And the focus is then not in abstinence, but in moderation, because we're not talking about smoking or drugs. Like, to tell people not to use the internet.
Hmm. Hello? Down? Yes, I can hear you.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so it's because I say better relationship, because right. We do not want to stop using the internet. If I tell you, well, you know what, then stop using your smartphone then, or go for a dumb phone. People say, well, yeah, but I want to use my smartphone. But it's annoying that I'm losing myself with my smartphone or social media. Well, just stop using social media. But if people say right. There's a lot of advantages when it comes to using social media, and which is all fine. It's true. I use social media as well. I use an iPhone as well. So it's not about just staying away from our phones, staying away from screens. Actually, technology is only going to advance a lot more. So we really want to prepare ourselves now, because we think we have a problem now, but wait till AI becomes smarter. Wait till virtual reality is mainstream.
Right. And it's coming fast too. It's coming fast.
Oh, exactly. So it's true. So that's why now we have time still to disconnect. We can learn how to disconnect. But soon, yeah, it's going to get a lot harder and challenging.
Right. I can't even imagine like the different devices that are going to be coming out. And like even with myself, like experience, you know, just being on social media or anything, like being on it too much, like you can start noticing when you're doing that. And you're like, wow, like all the time's wasted. You're just, you know, on it. You know, just doing nonsense, not even really like anything business-wise. Exactly. And, you know, it can really drain you. So I think the awareness on this idea, the awareness on social media, how it's used, like we do have to prepare for it. I guess I never saw it like that. That's crazy.
Yeah, for sure. And especially now with this documentary, The Social Dilemma. I don't know if you've seen it.
I think I have. It sounds super familiar. Is it really big right now?
Yeah, on Netflix. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I might have seen it. I don't remember.
It's So you see, as of course, because of this pandemic, a lot of people are also talking about excessive screen time, and children are using the screens a lot. I'm using my screens a lot. Is that okay, or should I feel bad about it?
Right. Yeah, that's true. I remember when this pandemic was like first happening. I remember thinking how I think like YouTube and Netflix and all that's going to be used more, right? Because people are staying home, and It's just a lot more people on the phones now. So
yeah,
that's pretty crazy. Do you have any I'm sorry. Do you have any like personal experiences with just like social media and the addiction of it? Is there any maybe in your family? I'm not sure.
Well, it's actually me. I was I used the very first smartphone that used Android, the first version of Android, which is back in 2009.
Oh, okay.
The H1 mobile phone. And I was the first one with a smartphone. So everyone was asking me, what is it? How cool is that? So I was showing off this device.
Right.
And, you know, Facebook was already kind of big back then in 2009. And Twitter, not yet. Twitter started, and Instagram as well, but Facebook was really big. So I was using this device a lot because I thought, wow, now you have this computer, which is on me all the time. So even if I was traveling, and you know, I could just use that device. Commuting, I could just use that device. But then my girlfriend, Ricardo, I got a girlfriend, a Brazilian girlfriend, and she was crazy about social media, about Facebook. And I was also a lot on social media. And then we started to post, you know, 5-6 times a day. And initially, you know, and initially it was fun, and you feel this sense of accomplishment, you know, that you're doing something, you're being productive, because you're creating, you're crafting this image. It's a poem that you search for on Google, and you know, or Celine Dion song or Barry White song that I'm just posting. But then after a while, she became very demanding. So sometimes when I wasn't posting, then she was asking me like, hey, where's my post? You know, it's your turn now. You know, people need to know that we're cool, that we're in love, that we have a perfect relationship. You know, people are going to ask questions if you don't post. So initially I thought, yeah, true. Okay, I will post. But then slowly it became more annoying. I got aggravated because I was feeling that I was spending all my time on social media. And I have this mantra, Ricardo, or this motto that says, I don't want to die stupid. So it means like I want to explore. I want to get, you know, always try to look for the uncomfortable zone. And just by spending all my time on social media, it just didn't feel right. So I started to work on this World Cup website. So the first time I finally started to build something. She wasn't happy with that. So, you know, it started to escalate more. One day we were walking on the beach. She drew this heart on the sand, right? And then she asked me, can you please kneel in front of the heart? So I kneeled, and then she took a photo. And then she posted this photo on social media. And then she said, or she wrote, look what Johan made me. Like, how fantastic is he to make me this heart? So then I realized, okay, now we're starting to lie as well.
And, wow, damn, they got like that, huh?
Right, then you think, wow, how many people actually do lie about these things? And that was like, that was 2012. So then I realized, wow, a lot of content that we see on social media is not even real anyway. So if we're seeing all these highlight reels, why bother? Why spending all this time on social media? So then I disconnected from Facebook, but I only started to use the fan page for the World Cup website that I was building. And so far from that moment on, I never really use social media anymore for personal reasons, only business reasons. So a lot of people sometimes they ask me like, Johan, you're never really online. How do you do it? How are you able to stay away from social media? So then because of that, 2018, I wanted to do something in self-development. And I thought, well, sometimes I hear questions about social media addiction, phone addiction. So let me then focus on that niche. And that's how I then started the social media breakup.
Wow, so you've had like a kind of go-through situation with the social media and that experience, you know, with it being fake, like.
Exactly. And we broke up. Eventually we broke up. And the funny thing is, Ricardo, people, actually after 6 months, they were asking me, so how are you guys doing? And then I said, well, we broke up a long time ago. And then, you know, you hear people say, like, they say, well, you know, you never told us, like, we need closure as well. You guys are posting so many posts, you know, about your lives, and then you don't even tell us that you broke up. So it's just funny. So in other words, we only post our highlight reels. Everything great, everything fantastic is what we post. Mm-hmm. Only those moments.
Wow, that's crazy. And going to, like, to you explaining how you were posting, like, so you said, like, five images a day, 5 photos. Did you ever feel forced after? Like, is that what made it tough? Because how often you were posting, like, did it feel like you were kind of forced to keep on doing that?
Yeah, eventually, yes. It took a while, but yeah, eventually, you keep searching for those romantic songs or poems, or always trying to be creative just to for the purpose of showing people that everything is still okay, that you're still in love. Yeah, then it felt fake. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy, man. I think that's great though. Like that's like, you know, you went through that, but you ended up building, you know, you're building something much more from it. So it's turned into a positive. So
true.
Good exactly. Shit, my guy.
Well said. Yeah. True. Exactly.
So have you ever had like any clients who had it really severely to where, I don't know if you really can, you know, explain this information, but just with like people who've really had it bad with social media, like maybe even in like a kind of danger zone, whatever that would, I guess, for social media, you know, would just be on the phone like 24/7 thinking that that's real life and it's not. Because people get into it bad with their mindset and with the internet. I feel I for sure had an experience with that.
Yeah.
And so I know that it's real. But have you ever had anyone like...
Yeah, well, I hear a lot of people, they have a focus, they have a goal, they have an objective, but then they use social media a lot, they use their phones a lot, and they just don't know how to transform their phone into an ally. So they were kind of on the right track, but then they deviated from the track because of social media and phone use. And also, yes, there are people who are kind of aimlessly living their lives. They live their lives like they're an accident. And then it's easy to just go for social media, to go for their phones. But then a lot of times it's just very unconsciously. So they don't really question it until they kind of get this epiphany, this wake-up call. Then because time passed and they see other people succeed, they see other people's highlight reels all the time, and then they ask themselves, well, is what about me? I can't, you know, because we're comparing despair, right? Well, everything we see on social media, we compare it to our own lives, to our own moments, and then we think, well, what about me? Where's my happiness? Where's my success? Where's my family? Where's my boyfriend? Where's my relationship? Where's my beautiful body? So then those people who wake up, who seek help, yes, they finally then have this epiphany, and then they basically convince themselves that, yes, I want to be like them. But then the thing is, you know, the purpose is not to be like the people you see online. It's the purpose is not to be the people who post their highlight reels, because you don't even know if that's real. And you don't even know if that's what you want. Just because those people look happy doesn't mean that you want those things. So you want to be very careful about what you actually want in life. What is it then that you want? So if you are basically focusing on a life that you're displaying online, what is that life? How does it look like? And then, yeah, the focus is then on trying and to live that life instead of posting about that life.
How would you kind of recommend just using social media? Like, do you feel you should only use it as a tool, like nothing more than that?
That's a good question. I personally use it mostly as a tool, but... Mm-hmm. Okay, if you use it for personal reasons. So if you want to share about your life with other people, then that's fine. As long as you know why you do it. And also, what's the purpose behind it? Is it because you think you have to show off? Is it because you seek validation? What is the reason exactly? But yeah, I don't think you should only use it as a tool for business purposes or for branding purposes. It's fine. You just have to understand that social media, those companies, they want to monetize your eyeballs. So they will do anything in their power for you to stay online as much as possible. So with that in mind, yes, it is fine to use social media, even just to post about what you had for dinner yesterday. But sporadically, you want to be always mindful why you use those apps. And you want to use them in a way that they will enhance your life. So, yeah, most of the time, it should be used as a tool. You should use it. Because if not, it will use you. And then we just don't know where our time goes.
That's true. And the amount of stuff that's just on the internet, like the different kind of people, the different kind of environments. Like if you go on Twitter, there's so much stuff, you know, the environment compared to there on Instagram. You know, it's completely different. So I know a lot of people are stuck on, you know, different social medias. They're stuck on, you know, Twitter, Facebook, you know, Instagram, whatever the case is. But it's always the same kind of end result of sadness, the end result of, yeah, seeing that other people are living a life that's probably not even theirs or not even real. You know, taking that image by the car. I made a podcast a while back and I was explaining how a lot of people who kind of flex, like people who like to show off on social media, kind of do it because they have a lot of insecurities. Right. And doing that kind of helps them. It gives them that dopamine, you know, when they get that like or that comment.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people like to chase that too. Like, you know, like those likes and comments or seeing that.
Exactly. It feels good. That's first, because the dopamine is released. Yeah, when a notification goes off. And then, yes, you feel validated. You feel important. You feel that you matter. and because other people validate you, so they like you, so you will then you allow yourself to like yourself, and that's scary.
That's
very scary. Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, because that can lead to like just such a negative path, and then experiencing so much negative shit. Like, it's real.
100%. Yeah. So then we create this avatar just to please other people, or we create this avatar that we think is going to result in a lot of respect and admiration. But yeah, you see, then we just lead the fake life. So what happens is we invest more in this online persona than our real selves, our offline version. So it becomes, so that's why, like, in the future, that it reminds me of that movie, Ready Player One, directed by Steven Spielberg. Mm. I don't know if you've seen it.
Right. Yeah.
So you see, so that we're going to really immerse ourselves in that online version, because then we're simply going to ask ourselves, why focusing on this offline version of ourselves if we can be anything, we can do anything we want to do, and we can be anyone who we want to be in the online virtual world. And that's going to be a debate for the future, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you already, but you see already people start to invest more in that online persona, and they neglect their online version. They can neglect what they really want. And yes, there is no belief when it comes to realizing that life that they boast about online, which is fake. So as because then I just want to tell people, if you sound so happy and you look so happy, but you're not, then why don't you work on yourself so you can actually work and build that life that you boast about? That people have to just, you know, the light bulb has to go off in order for them to realize, like, oh yes, I should maybe invest more in my real self, the offline version of me.
Yeah. I mean, I feel, at least I've never like actually done research, but with dealing with social media and just being on the phone a lot, like, I feel like it leads to a lot of laziness. So that kind of makes them not necessarily want to focus on themselves, you know what I mean? Like staying on the phone.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because it's laziness, you know, that ends up developing after just sitting on your phone for a long time, or just being on it, or doing the likes, blah, blah, blah. But
exactly.
I don't know. It's crazy, man.
It's so true. It's so true. It is easy to craft a photo. It's easy to say something about yourself, which is not true. To stare at a screen and just to create this persona any way you like, that's easy. But to portray that person, like to be that person in real life, that's tough. Like people, mm-hmm. now they lose their social skills because they're so immersed in this virtual world, because it's like you said, it's easy. So people become lazy. People don't want to go outside anymore. Everything now is happening in the virtual world. So yeah, why would you then invest all that time to actually become someone if you can already be that person like within 5 minutes online? So
yeah, so true, dude.
And that's why people lose themselves in social media, and but I have this feeling that people start to wake up. They start to wake up. They start to understand. Well, okay. These companies, they always promote connection and communication and meeting people, but at the end of the day, we're only more disconnected. And I think people start to realize that.
Yeah, that's 100% true. I feel that a lot of people can become more aware of it, but you know, I feel it's still not even brought up as much as it should be.
No,
but. You know, I think over time, with patience and hopefully consistency as well. You know, I know you and doing with your thing, and you said it. What was it called again? I'm sorry, you said it was like tech.
What I do?
I think I was on your Instagram name.
Social media breakup.
Social media breakup, and so being able to develop that, I think that's how it starts. You know, so that's good, dude. That you're really focused on that, and that you have experience from it in your personal life, so you're able to implicate that and you know, kind of grow in that area for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
How have you been feeling about it? I'm sorry.
Initially everyone says it's a great idea, but some people said you might be too early, because which is true. I consider social media addiction as smoking addiction back in the 50s. Like back in the 50s, right. A lot of people were smoking. And I can imagine that back in the 50s, there were already people who thought this can't be good, smoking so many times, like so many cigarettes a day. And but they still do it. Why? Because everyone was doing it. It was a social norm. If my neighbor is doing it, my mom is doing it, my friend is doing it, well, then I might as well do it. So only now we are very aware of all detrimental effects. So you see that not a lot of people are smoking anymore. Well, in comparison to the 50s, like almost no one is smoking now. But mm-hmm. when it comes to social media addiction, I think we're there where we were with smoking in the 50s, that now we start to realize, okay, this can't be good, but everyone is doing it anyway. And it's very easy to justify your screen use. Ah, well, you know, this email came in. Or yeah, this message from my friend came in. Or my mom sent me this message. Or I have to check the weather. I have to check the news. I have to check about what's happening when it comes to this pandemic. I need to be informed. So there are many reasons. There are many ways how you can convince yourself why it's okay to be on your screen so much. But with smoking, you can't. You can't. But with screen addiction, screen use, social media, there are always many reasons why we can convince ourselves it's fine. But I think after a few, not many years from now, I think we will start to realize that, okay, no, there are many detrimental effects when it comes to excessive social media use, excessive phone use, and we should really try to reduce that screen time. But yeah, since everyone is using the screens a lot, you see that it is easier to complain about it, but then simply just to go back to our phone use. Because it's hard to do.
Right.
Because we outsource so many tasks to tech. We do so many things on our phones. So it's hard to just basically disconnect from our phones and then be creative to find replacement activities for those activities on our device.
That's true. And going to what you said that this being like you kind of being early, that's interesting because I never thought of it that way. But I could understand that 100%. But I wanted to go to what you were saying. You said that, you know, we kind of find excuses to go back to the phone. Like, do we do that unconsciously and consciously?
Yes, yes. The bigger program. Like, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's like, now I feel like every time I'm going to be thinking about it whenever I go on.
But it's...
Because then I'd be conscious, you know?
Exactly, exactly. But yeah, it is, we're programmed because of those dopamine hits. Because of those dopamines, we are programmed to go for our phone immediately when a notification comes in. When we hear a sound, we immediately go for our phone. Like, we don't even think twice. It's like a zombie. Or like, we use like a dog chasing a bone. Like, we don't think about it. Whatever we're doing, we stop. If I'm talking to you and my phone goes off, like there's notification, I have to check it. And, you know, I don't even say, I'm sorry, I have to check it. No, I just go for it. So we're programmed. So that's definitely...
You're right now.
Yeah. And also those moments of boredom. There are many moments that we don't really know what to do. So we do what's easiest, which is to go for our phone. Like back in the day, we said BRB, be right back, when we used our desktops and laptops. Because, you know, when we had to go to the toilet, when we had to go to the supermarket, when we went outside. But now, never mm-hmm. say BRB because we're always online. We're always here now. So we simply do not disconnect. And it's also very easy to escape. Any problem you might have, you go for your phone. Any question you might have, you go for your phone. Right? You feel bored, you go for your phone. Your phone has zillions of activities to offer you when you're bored. So right. We go for our phone. And then because of those dopamine hits, because we want those likes, we want to... That anticipation of what could be when this notification comes in, it makes us go for our phone immediately. So yeah, and it's on purpose. It's on purpose. Oh, it's all designed. It's all designed. It's all designed to be addictive.
You know, that's funny that you say that, because I'm thinking of like, even you, have you ever, I don't know if you or just anyone you've ever seen be in an uncomfortable situation and, you know, they don't really know how to react. What they'll do is they'll look at their phones, you know, not necessarily actually doing anything, but to be on it, to kind of get out of the, you know, reality that they're in or what's happening in the scenario.
Exactly. So, exactly. Oh, that was a lot. Like fubbing, it's called also, it's fubbing that when you talk to someone, that you just go for your phone and then just in front of that person, like you're talking, one moment you're talking, the next moment you're on your phone. So that's fubbing. So now people are like, hey, why are you fubbing me? You know, or like, my wish for myself is that I never FUP anyone. Or if I really need to use my phone, I will tell the person, I'm sorry, my apologies, I really need to go find my phone. Excuse me, is it okay if I go for my phone? But people don't even say excuse me. People don't say sorry. People don't apologize. They go straight for the phone. And that's when you're FUBbing. And if you think about that behavior, then it's disrespectful. So
it really is, yeah.
Do you know that moment, Ricardo, when you say bye to someone, the person turns around? Or you turn, let's say you go, you turn around, you leave, and then you turn around to say bye one more time to the person. But when you turn around, you see the person already on their phone. Like, you know, that last
moment, yeah.
You know that, like, before entering the bus or the train, you just want to say one more time, hey, bye, and then you already see that person is on their phone. You see how fast that goes?
Yeah. Just that quick, just happens.
Yeah. You know, so you see those moments, I really want to be mindful. Like, if I want to go for my phone, I wait till the person is out of sight first, and then I go for my phone, because I don't want to miss out that opportunity, that upper connection, you know, that last opportunity.
No, right.
So,
as well as being in control too, like,
yes,
with the mindset.
Yes, for sure. Exactly. Oh, and that's why we have to unprogram ourselves. Yeah, we have to learn how to become conscious. You have to make the unconscious conscious, basically.
So consciously program?
Yeah, exactly. Well, unprogram, and then, yes, be having this freedom and be aware of the freedom that we can choose the action, that we are aware of what's going on. And then with that freedom of choice, we can then decide to consciously go for our phone or to consciously tell ourselves, you know what? No, I'm not going to go for my phone because it's actually not even necessary. So it's basically that call that is necessary. Mindfulness.
Right.
At the end of the day, that is what it's all about. Being mindful, being intentional.
Hell yeah, man. That brought peace to my mind for sure, because
that
makes me understand it more, because you understand it, you know? So now it's like I have that in my brain.
Good. Oh, I'm happy to hear that. Yeah, we really have to. And there are many strategies, of course, how to do that. But first of all, yeah, we have to really acknowledge that we want to change. We really, our relationship should improve drastically with social media.
Right.
But when it comes to social media, you can even say that maybe some apps are not even necessary. Some accounts are not even necessary. Just because, you know, 80% of your friends are now on TikTok doesn't mean you have to go on TikTok, you know, because then you're suddenly going to be on Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. And you know how much time that will cost you to be on all those apps and to find out what all your friends are doing, and then to keep up by also posting content. And you have to think about the content. What are you going to post? So then you're going to post for the sake of posting anything, you see. And then it's not about quality, then it's about quantity. And that's the thing. We cannot just enjoy those moments of life without documenting it, without showing it to people. Like, somehow we have to, we can't really experience the moments properly if we haven't shared it with anyone. You know, like, we can't just be in the moment and be with experience. No, we have to let someone know, oh, look, this is what I'm doing. Like, now there's proof that I've enjoyed myself. Now there's proof that I've done something in life. Like, now there's proof of my existence, you know?
Right.
It's,
Yeah, that's such a big eye opener. If any of you listeners are, you know, kind of thinking of this, or even an experience like that you've had similarly, or even now going through it now, understand that it's a real mental thing that you really go through, and that feeling of just trying to get away from that. It's tough, but you're able to, and it's a control. A real big control in the brain.
100%.
That you have to do as well, you know?
Yeah. So I have the 6-step formula. And actually that about mindfulness is mainly the last step. Yeah. So it's because, you know, it's not so much about disabling notifications, you know, like, I know, rule number one, disable notifications. That's what everyone says. You have to disable notifications. So
disable notifications.
Yeah, the push notifications. That's what everyone says. Disable the push notifications so your phone is not going to tell you, hey, something came up, there's an activity that happened, check it out now. Because of those dopamine hits, you will. It's like the phone is saying, hey, come here.
Right.
You know, like a, you know, obedient puppy, you will run towards your phone. So when you disable the push notifications, you're not going to be disturbed. Your phone is going to be more quiet. And that's what you want. But yeah, for me, that's just one small strategy. But it's not, for me, it's not just about disabling the notifications. It's about finding something that makes you disconnect from your phone. So it's not so much about pushing your phone away. It's about finding something mm-hmm. that basically pulls you away from your phone.
Right. No, I get it. So it's like really, it's just getting it away. I get what you're
saying.
Yes,
you want to be very mindful with your time, right? Because if you don't really know what to do with your mm-hmm. time, again, you just go for social media, you go for Netflix, you're going to play video games, you know, you're going to go for those activities that are always there waiting for you when you're tired, when you're bored, when you're sad, when you're disappointed. They're always there waiting for you. You know, like food, comfort food, fast food, chocolate chips, always there ready for you when you feel like kind of lonely or sad. So that's why you have to take ownership of your time. It's, you really have to maximize your time.
Maximizing time. I feel like that's been a big flaw for me lately. Like time management, that's a very important skill to have, something to learn, to practice on, making sure you are doing certain things at the right time so you have time to do other stuff in the future. And it just benefits, so.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, time's important.
Yeah, exactly. And that's also like part of the, like, step five of the formula. So basically what it comes down to for me is that first, you want to beat this problem, you want to be self-aware. And so step one is self-awareness. You want to understand how much are you using your phone. Because, well, now the question is not even how much are you using your phone, because we all use our screens a lot. Now it's more about finding out how and why. So first of all, why are you going for your phone? Is it which feeling? What kind of internal feeling is internal trigger or external trigger happens? Is it because of this feeling that you have? Or is it because your spouse is on their phone, so you're on your phone immediately? Or is this movie character on his phone, so now you go for your phone? Or again, is it the feeling or a thought? So you want to be very aware of why you go for your phone, and then what are you doing? What are you doing? What kind of apps are you visiting? You want to be very mindful about that. And then how? Is it okay? Are you okay with your use? Are you complaining about your use? If you have a family or a spouse, is it agreed, or are you doing it in secrecy? Should you be focusing on a different task? Are you on your phone while your girlfriend is next to you? So you want to be aware of why and how you use your screens. But normally also you want to track how long you use those apps. For how long are you on your phone? And then also you want to be very clear about how it is impacting your life negatively. Because if you want to implement and introduce change, you need to be very aware of where you are now. And if you're very honest about how it's impacting your life negatively, then you want to find out or be clear about how do you want your life to look like, and how does your phone have a place in that life? How do you want to use your phone and social media in that life? How does that look like? Your relationship, your ambitions, your self-actualization, all of it, how does it look like? So you have to be very clear. And then what I say is, with step two, is then about insights. So insights is that extra layer of motivation, is to understand detrimental effects, is to understand what social media is doing to us. You have to understand that social media knows us better than our spouse knows us. We're tracked. Everything we're doing, we're tracked. Even they know how long you're looking at an image. If you're looking at an image for 1 minute, they will know. Oh, you're looking at this image for 1 minute? Well, we're going to make sure we're going to feed you more content that's similar to that image.
Right.
You know?
That's crazy. It's so crazy, man.
It is. You think what you're seeing online, that everyone is seeing? No, it's a world that is highly curated. It's perfectly crafted just for you, based on your clicks and your online behavior, what you're watching, what you're doing, what you're seeing, how you're interacting with people. So they all know. So at the end of the day, we all know, like, we are the product, right? We're not the customer. The companies who advertise, they are the customer. We are the product. So they want our data and they want our time. So that's why, can you imagine if we click and we look for all this information that our spouse, they don't even know that, right? All this information that we seek, we don't even tell anyone, but they know, and they will use that data against us. So if that data, if they know more than about us and our spouse, can you imagine how much that data is worth? So that's why we have to be very careful that what we're doing on social media, we don't always necessarily act out of free will. Because they know, they will know, and they can predict. They basically make predictions based on our behavior. So they know what we're going to do next. You know, if you show me a Ferrari and Bugatti, then they already know, okay, well, you probably will like Jaguar. Even if I never heard of Jaguar before, they know already, well, I will show you Jaguar now, so I know you're going to stay 5 more minutes online.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be very careful that we should not just think, okay, well, I'm just on social media, and then, well, 1 hour went by, and that's it. No, it was planned. They know exactly what to do to take your time, to monetize your eyeballs, and they will monetize your eyeballs by letting you stay online as much as possible. So that's insight. It's about understanding the detrimental effects that, you know, that we're outsourcing our brain. Or it's also called the Google effect. So because of our phone, we can always look something up. If we don't know something, we don't allow ourselves to be creative, to contemplate, to think. We go for our phone immediately. So what happens is it becomes harder to remember phone numbers. It becomes harder to remember how to calculate, like 40 times 40. People will open a calculator app to enter 40 times 40 to find out. You see, we don't even take the time to really use our brain. So we have to be careful that although there are many advantages to technology.
Mm-hmm. In a way, it's kind of weird because you can think of it as humans being cyborgs, like not necessarily with body parts with machines, but we have our phones. We have something to calculate. We have something to find out everything. You know, Google, it's literally right here in our pockets. So. Exactly. You know, AI is crazy.
Exactly. But look, to use this example of a cyborg, if my left arm is replaced by this robot arm,
right?
I'm going to be very strong. I'll be happy and I'll be strong because of tech. It's enhanced my strength. But if you take off this robot arm, then my left arm is going to be twice as weak now because I haven't trained that left arm because I relied on technology. So that's what we're
doing. Right.
You know, so initially there are many benefits and it's enhancing us. But you have to be careful that we don't outsource too much to tech, that we don't rely too much on tech, because then it's going to be hard to do these things ourselves without technology. So,
man, AI is pretty scary. Like, just the way it advances and how it's going. Like, we're not far from, you know, something super crazy with AI. Like, it's going to be here.
Yeah.
It's going to be insane. I don't know. I do have to end the podcast here, but is there anything else you wanted to get out? Any specific message you want the listeners to know?
I would say to focus on improving your digital citizenship. So learn about your device, learn about your social media apps. If you use both, then focus on learning about the privacy settings, the security settings. And then aside from becoming more digital literate, so to become more aware of the dangers, you also then want to work on yourself and also find an activities that will take you away from your phone. Very simple activity like board games now with this pandemic. So you really want to focus on activities, on yourself, and own tech. Get to, you know and learn about technology, the devices you use and the apps you use. Be very self-aware, be very mindful, because it's not an accident that we spend so much time on social media and our phones.
Awesome, man. Well, dude, I really appreciate you having you on. I know we've texted a lot and, you know, we had a couple bumps here and there, but I ended up getting you on. So I'm super glad, super grateful. I actually turned off my notifications after we were talking about it.
Yeah.
You know how you mentioned it? Because I need to make sure, like, I'm really, like, seriously self-aware about this. I'm conscious of every time something like that happens, because this is real. And,
yeah,
you know, taking action really does something and it benefits you.
Exactly.
So I appreciate you, and I hope to, you know, you can, if you want to come on the podcast again anytime soon, just contact me, bro, and we'll get it going.
Thanks a lot.
Anytime you want, of course. And thank you so much to the listeners for clicking on this podcast. Until next time, all right? So safe, all right?
Take care. Thanks a lot, huh? Appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot.
Of course. Till next time.
Till next time. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye-bye.